It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. I know that I do not need to tell you how bad the world is today. You know that because you read the news and you live in the same world that I live in. However, just let me remind you for just a moment that we do live in a world that is filled with violence. We know that at the time of the flood, when God sent Noah into the ark with all the animals, the Bible explicitly says in Genesis chapter 6 that God did it because there was violence in the world. In the same way, we know that as we come closer to the day when Jesus will come back again, that we also will find the world once again filled with violence. We find not only violence, however, in our world today. We know that the world is overrun with all kinds of suffering and sorrow, by disease, by natural disasters. And you can just think in your mind of what the news is like in all the stories that you hear day by day. Let me ask you a question. Where is God in all of this? That's what we're going to talk about today, and we would love to have your participation. All you need to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, join us on the air with your opinions, your ideas. In fact, you are what make this program special. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. Our number is 800-775-4673. I have Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, in the studio with me, and we are going to give away one copy of his book today. We'll do it by way of drawing at the end of the program. To participate in the drawing, all you have to do is call us, join us on the air, and be part of the program. The book is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by Dr. Timothy Jennings. So if you'd like to have an opportunity to have a copy of that sent out to you free of charge, give us a call and participate in what we're doing. Now, you've heard me say before, no doubt, that you don't need to be concerned that you're going out on over 70 radio stations across North America, or that you're on the Hope Television Channel, or that you're on the Internet. That's okay. You know, the Hope Television Channel, the feed that we are on covers North America, a lot of South America and the Pacific Rim. And of course, the Internet covers the world, but don't think about any of that. Just give us a call and talk with us. And it's a lot of fun when you do it. We love to hear from you. 800-775-4673. Would remind you once again that Life Talk, the ministry that supports this program, needs your help. We are on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can't do it without you. I've also told you that God is opening fantastic doors of opportunity right now, but if we don't walk through those doors may shut, and we will not be able to walk through them later. We need your financial support right now in a way that we've never needed it before. So give me a call personally if you'd like to speak with me. Just use the 800 number. And you can speak to one of the call screeners, or if you'd like to speak with me, ask for me, 800-775-4673, and I'll tell you exactly what the needs are, what the opportunities are, and how you can help. We want to thank you also for the help that you have given and that we know by God's grace you will continue to give. Well, in this world of disaster and trouble, and by the way, I think most of you that watch or listen to this program know that I'm not a pessimistic person. But I'm also a realist, and we live in a world that I think anyone in the right mind could characterize as a world of trouble. In fact, to use the Bible phrase, that a person that is born of a woman, their days are few and full of trouble. And I believe that characterizes human life even more so as we come down towards the day when we will see Jesus again come in the clouds of glory. Well, where is God in all of this? In all of the trouble, in all the sorrow that we see around us today, who's responsible and where is God? I know that most of you must have an opinion. So once again, plan on giving us a call. Join our discussion, 800-775-4673. Now, in Dr. Jennings' book, he has a chapter where he addresses this topic. And so we're going to use that as a model for our discussion today. And Dr. Jennings, as we mentioned already, it's great to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, you lay out four principles in there, or four aspects of this whole discussion. Off the top of your head, do you have those four ready to go, or we'd start one by one?
Well, I think we can go through them all together. The question that people struggle with oftentimes, and I see in my practice, because I have many patients who have experienced pain. In fact, I don't think there's anybody who can go through this world without experiencing pain. But sometimes it's exploitive pain. They've been abused, they've been molested, they've been raped. And the question often comes to many of them, if God is a God of love, why didn't he stop this from happening? Why didn't he intervene? Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know if you remember back September 11, 2001, after the aftermath of that, they had that memorial service, and Billy Graham was speaking at that service, and he openly asked the question, well, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And he indicated that he is still in the process of searching for answers himself.
Right.
And so that's the questions, I think, that a lot of people do struggle with.
Well, and I think it's only fair, Tim, at the beginning of the program to set out that neither you or I have the complete answer to all of this. I'm reminded of the Bible story of Job. Job sought for this answer. His friends sought for this answer. The bottom line is God never gave them the answer. But I think, God, there are some guidelines, some points of understanding that can help us as we relate to this whole issue.
You know, I don't know that he certainly didn't dictate an answer to them. But I would suggest that the life of Christ is an answer to that question.
Of course, the life of Christ is the ultimate answer to all issues of human suffering. And we know that all of that points forward. The real answer is not even in the cross. That's the way of salvation. But the cross itself does not finalize salvation. It gives us the guarantee, the hope of eternal life. But that will be finalized when Jesus comes again.
Yeah, one of the big questions that we key in on this, doesn't the Bible use the phrase, Paul used the phrase, the God of this air of this earth, or something like the God of this world, the God of the air?
Right.
Okay, and so when you talk about why does God let bad things happen, there is God, the true sovereign God, but there's also this other God that Paul talks about with the little g that's operating down here on this world, and I think sometimes people confuse those two and attribute things that should be attributed to the God of this earth, Satan, to the, our Heavenly Father God, and that's where a lot of trouble comes in.
Right. He even gets done vice versa at times as well.
That too.
And which, of course, is extremely unfortunate. Well, I hear the music playing. We have to go to break. This is going to be a good discussion, and we invite all of you to not only stay tuned in, but think about giving us a call, participate. Your questions, your ideas are welcome. 800-775-4673. We have Dr. Jennings' book. We'll have a drawing for that at the end of the program. Stay tuned.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
A pleasure doing business with you, neighbor. Give my regards to King Saul.
So long.
Well, now, young man, welcome to Weapon World and Ammo Outlet. How about a good stout broadsword? Best a soldier can buy.
No thanks. I'm not a soldier. I'm a shepherd.
Well, then, how about a bow and arrow? Great for keeping varmints away from the flock.
Thanks, but no. I just need a new sling and 5 smooth stones.
God's provision may not always include an abundance of material resources, but he will supply exactly what you need to gain the victory.
What you going after?
A giant.
A what?
The Philistine Goliath, who dares to mock the name of the Lord God Almighty.
Now listen, son, if you can't afford a heavy-duty weapon, maybe you ought to just head on back to your sheep herd.
But the battle is the Lord's. If he sets a giant before me, I'm sure I'll have all I need.
What you have may not look like much, but you can trust God to give you all you need to do his will. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We're taking on the topic today, where is God when I go through pain and suffering? If you'd like to join us, 800-775-4673. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we are relating to one chapter in his book. We are giving away that book today. At the end of the program, we'll have a drawing from among those of you that call in. As you know, we like to always get us digging into the Bible, so let me give you the Bible question today. It is simply this. Who in the Bible celebrates his deliverance from suffering by saying that God gave him garments of joy in exchange for sackcloth and made his heart sing to God? Let me give that one more time. Who in the Bible celebrates his deliverance from suffering by saying that God gave him garments of joy in exchange for sackcloth and made his heart sing to God? If you know the answer to that, give us a call and let us know that you have found that Bible answer. There are many Bible places that we can turn to. Another scripture is found in the book of Job that I think It'd be good for us to mention as we get into the program today. This is Job chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Job says, "If only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sands of the sea. No wonder my words have been impetuous." So I think many of us at times, even though we may not have suffered to the degree, I'll get that out, that Job suffered, in any case, we have felt that the weight of the anguish of our heart was so great, we were so weighed down, that if it could be measured, it would weigh like the sand of the sea. A dramatic statement on the part of Job that I think all of us can relate to. Well, Dr. Jennings, what we're talking about today, of course, is a topic that really everyone in this life, we live in a world of sin. And there's not one person in this world that cannot relate to those sentiments that Job expressed.
There's no question about it. And I've had many patients that really struggle with their faith relationship with God because they've experienced pain. They've been told that God loves them, and then they can't have a hard time reconciling. How could a God of love allow me to go through this terrible time in my life? And perspective makes a big difference. What kind of perspective do we take on ourselves, on this planet, on this universe, and on the character of God? How do we see the context of what's happening to us?
You know, what is intriguing to me is that even in Bible prophecy, right at the end of the Bible, the Lord has a graphic picture of what we're talking about today. When he talks about those individuals that figuratively are under the altar, and we're not getting into all the Bible prophecy, but the point is this, is that they are crying out, "O Lord, how long?" These are individuals that have been persecuted for the sake of Christ, and they're crying out, "God, how long are you going to let this go on?" You know, it's one thing to suffer when disease comes on us, when natural calamity, but it seems to be to the human heart a double insult when we know that we are suffering for the cause of Christ. Paul in prison, for instance, he was a champion of the cause of Jesus Christ, and yet for that very reason, he was suffering, and yet Jesus came to bring freedom and deliverance. And it's almost like a mystery that stands in contrast that's difficult to understand.
And Paul's perspective, though, made a big difference because Paul said, "I am in chains for Christ,"
right,
but it's serving to spread the gospel because now the whole palace guard knows about Christ. And so he could see a perspective that his suffering had purpose, his suffering had meaning, his suffering was working to bring hearts and minds that were alien to Christ into friendship and redemption with Christ. And for that purpose, then suddenly the suffering was mitigated in a certain sense because he realized that it was reaching people for God.
What about the contrast to that? And that is that God is not always doing something in our favor. We know there's a Bible text that often gets misused, and that is that God does all of these things so that good will come out of them. And that's not what the Apostle Paul was saying at all. What he was saying was that in tribulation, God can work through those circumstances for good, not that God brings them, a much misunderstood passage
of
the Bible.
That's right.
But at the same time, I don't think either you, Dr. Jennings, or I would want to pass off every circumstance, every time of disaster, and say, "Well, God's hand was in this, and he really was doing it for your own good."
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up so much, because many times people have had something bad happen, and somebody will say, "Well, God was trying you, or God was proving you, or God was disciplining you, or what's the sin in your life that you need to explore to have this discipline taken off of your life?" And they misunderstand that actually bad things happen in this world, and there are multiple reasons why that can happen. One reason is, and the Bible is clear, in love, when we are stepping out of line, when we are moving in ways that are self-destructive and sinful, God in love will reach in a disciplinary fashion and bring us to some point where we know we're in the wrong, that we have the option to repent or not.
Right.
That's true. It's one reason. But that's not the only reason. Look at the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at the case of Daniel and many other examples. Or in the case of Job, perfect and righteous in all his ways. There are other reasons that have nothing to do with the fact that we are actively in rebellion against God at some point in our life.
Right.
And so those comments that you bring up that people will bring actually add burdens and dishearten people and crush hopes and can bring people down and actually work on the enemy side of things because they obstruct God's good character from being seen.
All right, let's go to Washington State, and we're going to speak with Bob. Bob, it is so nice to have you on the air today.
Thank
Hi, Bob.
You. How are you guys today?
We're doing well, thank you. Even though we're talking about a tough topic, we're doing well.
You know, actually, it's only as tough as we make it, because according to the way I understand my Bible. Some of the first verses that people learn when they become a Christian is, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. But that's where they stop reading, because it continues to say, for those that he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So if we grasp that for what it is, the hard times in our life come to us because that's what it takes to conform us to the image of Christ. And what it takes for me is different than what it'll take for you or somebody else. So,
right.
You know, we just need to rejoice when we're going through the hard times, because God is using that hard time to, you know, to conform us to the image of Christ.
Well, I think you're right, Bob. By the way, that was the passage that I referred to just a couple minutes ago. But the it is true, as our guest just mentioned, as Dr. Jennings mentioned a moment ago, that there at times God does bring discipline. I mean, the Bible is clear about that. But it also would seem to me, Dr. Jennings, I think as you also mentioned a moment ago, that every time something that is disastrous happens, or something that is challenging, or something that is bad in our lives, that we perceive as bad, doesn't necessarily mean that God is disciplining us. And just a moment ago, you mentioned that there are multiple reasons, and I think you're right on that.
Yeah, Bob, I want to affirm you in the truth that you stated regarding that passage and its application some of the time. However, there are other reasons that I think we're going to have to go to break and come back to.
Right.
But there are other reasons, and maybe we'll think during the break, well, a little child who's 4 or 5 years old getting molested, how would that passage apply to that little child's life getting molested?
Right. Well, Bob, stay with us. Your point is well taken, and feel free to stay with us. We do have to go to break. We'll be back in just a minute. 800-775-4673. That's the number. You can join us on the air. Stay tuned.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
So did that new sweater you got for Christmas fit? Or do you have to lose just a little bit or return it for a larger size? How about that new tie? The one that matches absolutely nothing in your closet? When a gift you received has to be returned or exchanged or just put away for a later time, it makes you think of all those gifts that were just perfect. Like God's love for you, the best gift you'll ever receive.
From Life Talk Radio.
Have you heard about Life Talk Kids? It's our new audio stream just for kids. Life Talk Kids offers music, stories, and drama all day, every day. Just go to lifetalk.net and click Listen Live. That's lifetalk.net for music and programs just for kids. On the new Life Talk Kids audio stream.
Steve Gallimore back with you. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we're giving away a copy of his book. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. If you'd like to have a copy of that, join us on the air, and we'll make you part of a drawing that we'll have at the end of the program. 800-775-4673 is the number. And the Bible question that we're throwing out is this: who in the Bible celebrates his deliverance from suffering by saying that God gave him garments of joy in exchange for sackcloth and made his heart sing to God? That's our Bible question for the day. We have Bob in Washington State that's on the phone with us. And Bob had pointed us to a passage of Scripture about God working out things and making them good when it seems bad, and how he does that for our discipline. And Bob is still with us, but Dr. Jennings, let's come back to you first of all.
Yes, and I wanted to just outline some of the reasons why bad things happen to good people, and then we can explore whichever way people want to go. One, as Bob has said a moment ago, sometimes bad things happen to good people because of discipline. God is trying to lead us back to a right path, and we're stepping out of line. That is one reason. Another reason, however, that the Bible gives us, for instance, the book of Job, who was perfect and righteous in all his ways, and no one on earth like him. He didn't need discipline. But bad things started happening. And if you read the context there, there is a dispute going on in heaven, and God could point to Job as his friend, someone who could be relied upon to demonstrate, and I believe this is the key, that those sinners who cooperate with God can and do. God's ways work to heal and restore. And Job was not on Satan's side anymore. Job was on God's side. So God can call us to witness to show that actually God's dwelling in our lives changes us and heals us. Sometimes that can only be demonstrated under trial and persecution, that we aren't just doing it, as Satan alleged, for the good things God provides. Third, because as a witness in a general sense of the two antagonistic principles going on, God's government of love versus Satan's principles of selfishness, a.k.a. survival of the fittest. And those things, Paul says in Corinthians, we are a witness, a spectacle to angels and to men. They're looking in to understand these things, and they are being played out, those two antagonistic principles. Fourth, we live in a war zone where there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour because his time is short. And so he is out to get those who are not on his side. And then, ultimately, love cannot exist in an atmosphere without freedom. And God is love. So while he does restrain, to a certain extent, the four winds of strife, while he does send his angels to protect and watch over, he doesn't absolutely control, dictate like a puppet master, its puppet, controlling every individual thought, every individual decision. There is real freedom, or else love couldn't exist.
All right, Bob, anything else? Bob?
No, it sounds like you guys got it right on target.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Bob, and God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's come back and pick up on some of the issues that we've raised. One is that it is true, it is undeniably true, that good people will have things that are disastrous that happen to them. We know when we look back at the Old Testament and coming out of that, for instance, the book of Job, which some say is the earliest book of the Bible, mm-hmm. we see some of this this thought process taking place. And that is that good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people, and never do the two cross.
Yes.
If there's bad that happens, there's no question it's God's response to the evil that is in the life of the person. Jesus, of course, had to address this with the Pharisees of his day. This was one of their main underlying philosophies. There were two or three that were extremely important that we see Jesus take head on in the New Testament. This was one of them. And, of course, Jesus refuted this, and Jesus even emphasized it by associating himself with those that seemed to be the outcast of society, people for whom things had not gone well. And the Pharisees then, of course, turned to Jesus and said, hey, look who your followers are. If you were a righteous person, you wouldn't have these kind of people that have bad things that have happened in their life following you. So we see this coming all the way down through the Old Testament scriptures. And, of course, the Bible doesn't support that kind of thinking.
I want to point out that was one of the main reasons that Jesus was rejected by the leadership.
Sure.
Because they believed if he was really from God, he would have wealth and he would have a position and status. And the fact that he didn't even have a place to lie his head, that he was poor, that was, in their mind, evidence or proof that God couldn't be on his side. Further evidence was, well, he was hanging on a tree. If you're on a tree, well, you're cursed to God, you see. You can't be God's son. You can't really be on God's side if these bad things are happening to you. Right. This mentality is entering certain aspects of Christianity today. There are certain gospels being preached that if you're on God's side, you're healthy and wealthy. And if you just have enough faith, you won't have sickness. You won't have disease. Your financial problems will go away. And if you're
it's the prosperity gospel. You flip on any channel on radio or television and listen to a Christian network, and I don't mean to be overly negative here. I hope people will not take it that way. But you can hear the prosperity gospel being preached. There are some of the most well-known religious leaders in the country that preach this prosperity gospel. And you hear it over and over again. Send us money. That's a seed. God's going to bless you. And if you do good things are going to happen to you.
And the downside to that is that people who are godly, like, say, Job in the Bible, let's take an example, somebody today in our society who is struggling with hard times, they're tempted to be discouraged. They're tempted to feel abandoned by God. They're tempted to feel like God isn't on their side. They're tempted to feel like maybe there's some horrible sin in their life. Like Job's friends came to him and said, Job, you need to confess your sin. You wouldn't have this, because we know this wouldn't happen to you if you didn't sin. That message goes out from the prosperity gospel to many people. And I have patients who come see me who were discouraged, not because of just their social situation, because they have a loved one who's gotten sick, because they've had financial hard times, but because their gospel understanding is, well, God has abandoned me, or it must be some wickedness in my life that keeps God from blessing me.
I just heard the other day, just recently, and you can see this all the time, it's everywhere, but a very well-known religious leader, a pastor in this country that has television programs that are repeated day after day after day, tell people, send me $500, and that is a seed. God is now going to take away the adversity of your life if you will send me the $500. The prosperity gospel shows itself in different ways. That's one way that it shows it. And it's a tactic of manipulation that has nothing to do with scriptural understanding.
And it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. That type of presentation appeals to Satan's kingdom of wealth and self-promotion. But there is a promise in the Bible, in Malachi, if you're faithful, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out and so forth. They take that and make a human application of monetary wealth. But when we give our means and resources to God's cause, the blessing he is talking about is not necessarily more wealth. It is the blessing of more Christ-like character. It's the blessing of coming to know him in deeper and more meaningful ways. It's more love, at Romans 5:5, poured out into our hearts that we are freed from our fears and insecurities. It's a character blessing transformation, bring us back into unity with heavenly beings. That's the blessing that is poured out, not this necessarily you'll get more money.
In my viewpoint, and I know I'm kind of harsh here, but it is a perverse manipulation, to use the term again, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It really is a system of righteousness by works. If you pay God this, God in turn will pay you more. The more you pay him, the more you get back.
Exactly.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. There's more to come as we talk about why bad people and good people suffer.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
If I say suicide, what do you think of? Thoughts of others who may have taken their own lives? People you know who may be considering suicide, and maybe that person is you. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul prays,
"May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and way."
Hope that there is a way out, a way to a place of comfort and understanding. Hope is the best weapon against the act of suicide. Find hope and understanding in the Bible, online at BibleInfo.com or by phone 1-800-97-BIBLE.
Direct access to God's Word to help yourself, a friend, or a loved one.
It's easy. Log on to www.BibleInfo.com. and see what you can learn about the Bible. Or call 1-800-97-BIBLE, a free service of your local Seventh-day Adventist church.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. This program is also streamed live online in video form, so you can see everything that goes on in the studio. And if you've missed some of today's discussion, you can watch it later, archived online at our website, lifetalk.net. Or if you'd like a CD copy of today's broadcast, just call 800-775-4673. We're grateful for those who continue to remember Life Talk in their daily prayers, and we deeply appreciate those who have made financial contributions to keep this ministry going strong. You can donate online at lifetalk.net or by calling that same toll-free number, 800-775-4673. There's more Steve Gallimore Live on the way. Stay with us for the second half of the program.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about a topic I know that is dear to the heart of all of us, because we want to have a relationship with God. But I believe also that all of us struggle with the concept of why there is so much suffering in the world, why so much sin, if there is a God of love. We're talking about that topic today, and I don't think that we are purporting that we are going to give you all answers, and we are probably going to give you the final solution, but we don't have all the answers to this great mystery, but we are talking about it, and I hope that as a result of this program today, you will be blessed, and that all of us will have a better understanding of how God works and relates to us. If you'd like to join us on the air, you can do it, 800-775-4673. As we mentioned earlier, our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and we are discussing actually a chapter in his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, Could It Be This Simple? By Dr. Tim Jennings. We're giving one of those away. We'll have a drawing for it at the end of the program. Dr. Jennings, if people wanted to get that book, where could they get it?
They actually can order it off Amazon.com, go into any bookstore and order it, or they can go to our website, comeandreason.com.
All right.
I wanted to jump one more thing and
sure.
just say, you know, all those reasons we talked about, we overlooked an obvious reason why sometimes painful and bad things happen.
Right.
Because we choose to do painful and bad things to ourselves.
Right.
You jump off a bridge and end up with broken legs. I mean, we can choose to inflict harm on ourselves. And I've had patients who have done that, shot themselves, taken overdoses, jumped off bridges or things, and they have terrible, if they don't die, have terrible pain in themselves. Or we can choose to cheat on our spouse and have a broken marriage. And so there is the aspect of self-inflicted wounds as well that we don't want to forget.
Well, and interestingly enough, of course, that was one of the temptations that came to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, just jump off of here. Hasn't God promised that his angels will lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of thinking. And of course, Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with that kind of thinking. That should be one lesson to us, that Jesus would turn back that as a temptation.
And the external pain that comes can't harm the soul, can't sear the conscience. If somebody persecutes you, it doesn't damage your conscience. If somebody molests you or abuses you, it doesn't damage your conscience or your soul. If you have a natural disaster wipe out your fortune, it doesn't damage your soul or character. But when you choose to violate God's law, the self-inflicted wounds may not only hurt you physically and financially, it also damages the conscience, sears the conscience, and damages the soul. So actually, those are the most devastating.
We're going to California and speak with Delbert. Delbert, nice to have you on the air today.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air from coast to coast.
Okay. I look at the Christian life as kind of like an infantry soldier in combat who's fighting. The enemy's trying to kill him. But unfortunately, we never get out of the front lines because we're stuck in this world. And so,
Delbert, I want to ask you to speak up just a little bit, if you would be kind enough to do that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I look at our life as being a combat infantryman who lives in the world's worst circumstances on the front lines.
Right.
And he either gets killed or he goes back for R&R. But in this world, there's no R&R because you're always in the front lines. And how do you get over this? And I also am depressed, too, so I can see negative in everything.
Sure. No, but I think you make a good point, Delbert. In fact, even the Apostle Paul, right at the end of his life, said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And that brings to mind exactly what you were talking about. Throughout his life, obviously, Paul had to fight the good fight of faith. We actually find a number of references throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul to this kind of thing. We get to Romans chapter 7 and 8, those two chapters, and we see Paul really, from a theological standpoint, takes on that particular issue. But you're right. We are always in this battle, long as we're in this life. And in the truest sense, there's not R&R until we get into the kingdom. Not that God doesn't give us a respite once in a while. But yeah, we are fighting, as the Apostle Paul said, against the powers of the darkness and things that we can't see.
Well, I like the metaphor. 2 Corinthians 10, starting verse 3, says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, notice what we demolish. We demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to Jesus Christ. So while we're on a war front, the God of this world wants us to focus on the worldly things. Right. But the real war is a battle for the mind. It's a battle for who you trust. It's a battle over the knowledge of God himself. And this is where the war is being fought in our minds. And we come back to that true knowledge of God, John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God. Then we can enter that rest, Hebrews chapter 4, that rest that is in Christ, that we can have peace for our souls, that our fortune may be taken away, our health may be taken away. But Christ said, don't be afraid of those who hurt the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the body and the soul. You see, and when we enter that unity and oneness with Christ, we can have rest and peace for our minds, even in the midst of the warfare around us.
Well, you know, here's a good passage from Psalms. This is Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. He says, you turned my wailing into dancing. This is, I'm assuming, David speaking. He says, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and may not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you things forever. A great song of rejoicing, even in this life. And David went through a lot of trouble, but he found this reason to rejoice even in this life. But he also, this is another one that stands in contrast to this. This is Psalm 6. Says, my soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me, save me, because of your unfailing love. And so, Delbert, when you say the things that you say, that we're always in this war, this passage, of course, comes to mind. David was struggling. He was in anguish, he said. But there was a time when he said, Lord, I'm rejoicing. My heart is just overflowing with blessing.
And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so there is a transforming process. But I agree with you, Delbert. On this earth, we will never stop the warfare. However, we can engage that warfare on our own with our own strength, or we can engage that warfare yoked to Christ, unified with Him, and do it in His strength. And that makes all the difference in the world, it seems to me.
Well, you know, sometimes the illustrations are limited. We talk about warfare and bring that up as an illustration of Christianity. In real warfare, there is no relaxation. And once again, as Delbert pointed out, I mean, you do not have soldiers really that are able to get away and then maybe bring them back from the front lines, this kind of thing. But it's always a tense situation. But as you have just pointed out, Dr. Jennings, that in the Christian warfare, we can have rest in Christ. And so there's a certain peace, there's a certain restfulness, even as we're engaged in battle against the enemy.
Well, and one of the things, I was a division psychiatrist for the 24th and 3rd Infantry Divisions in the U.S. Army. And one of the things that when you find yourself in a combat situation that you have to come to terms with is the fact that you can't protect and save your own life, basically. You have to acknowledge the fact you may die, surrender your life, so to speak, and then you can operate on the battlefield without paralysis, without fear. But as long as you're self-focused on saving self constantly, then you're really no good out there. This is true in our spiritual warfare. We have to surrender our lives to Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And then what happens to us is in God's hands, and we trust Him with it.
All right, Delbert, if you would like to stay through break, feel free to do it. But the music is playing. If you had something else to share, feel free to stay. We'll be back in just a moment. Our number, 800-775-HOPE. We're talking about why evil things happen to both good and bad people.
What do you think? Give us a call. 800-775-4673.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Steve Gallimore back with you, and we have Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist. Dr. Tim Jennings is in the studio with us today as we talk about why bad things happen to those that are, well, you would think are good people, and those that are, well, maybe we could characterize them as bad people. That may not be a fair way to characterize it, but in any case, bad things happen to everyone in this life. Why is that so, and where is God in all of this? Our number is 800-775-4673. That's what we're talking about today. And if you'd like to call in, feel free to do it. Let me throw out our Bible question one more time. Who in the Bible celebrates his deliverance from suffering by saying that God gave him garments of joy in exchange for sackcloth and made his heart sing unto God? So if you know the answer to that, give us a call, 800-775-4673. Off the air, we finished our conversation with Delbert off the air. And Delbert was mentioning that from the standpoint of the Christian experience, it's challenging to him, even discouraging, because, you know, God does promise good things. And how does he relate to this in a positive way? And I think this is a challenge for probably all of us. How do we relate to the process of faith in God when we know that God could intervene, he could change these things, but he doesn't do it? How do we hold on to our faith? Well, that's a good question.
Delbert said something else off the air, too, and he said that he has a tendency to try and to see the negative in things when events occur. So let me give a little metaphor. And if Delbert's still listening, you can imagine this. Imagine that you're walking in a rose garden, beautiful rose garden with beautiful roses, and all you notice are the thorns. And you talk about the thorns, and you talk about the sharp pains that they'll cause if you touch one, and you fail to notice the roses and the beautiful flowers in the garden. Will that be a pleasant experience? That's a metaphor for our life on this earth right now. There is good and evil fighting out on this planet. And everywhere you look, you can see the thorns of life, no question about it. But God is always there with his angels and his blessings and his rain and his rainbows after the storm. And there's always the roses in life to see as well. And we have that choice. It's up to us where we place our focus. Now, most of us, when we go in a rose garden, actually ignore the thorns, except when we're trying to grab a branch. Then we're paying attention not to get stuck. But our main focus is on the beauty of the roses.
Right.
That's to be our experience in life. We're not ignorant of the thorns of life, but we are aware to be careful not to purposely get ourselves stuck by them. But our focus is on all the blessings that God is pouring out upon our life. And that's where we maintain our focus.
You know, Tim, I see both in the Bible repeatedly over and over again. I see the prophets crying out to God in anguish, saying, where are you? What has happened to you? I've forgotten the circumstance. Yeah, so they're looking at the negative.
The difference they're actually got the thorn stuck in their thumb at the time.
Okay. Right.
They've got the thorn in their thumb, and they're actively bleeding at the time, and that's why they're crying out. They're not actually in a state where they're not actually being persecuted or being hounded or something and crying out in that way. They're actually suffering at some real event at that time.
Right. Good point. And I think also associated with that, they invariably move to a situation of rejoicing.
Yes.
You know, we don't find in the Bible when the prophets cry out in anguish that they stay in that anguish. They come out, they rejoice, they give thanksgiving to God. Just in the text that we just read earlier, text of David, you turned my wailing into dancing, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me. And so they moved away from that time of sadness into a time of rejoicing.
Perspective makes all the difference. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Okay, well, I had a patient who was in his middle 30s dying of esophageal cancer. He had married, had two children in elementary school, was given less than a year to live. He was Christian. He was tempted to ask these very questions. Where's God? Why would he let this happen to me? I haven't really, I've lived a faithful life. What's the deal here?
Right.
But in his, even though those temptations came, he confronted those temptations and said, no, I trust that God has a larger plan. And before he died, with his upbeat attitude, his maintaining his faith, his witnessing even to the nurses at the hospital, he saw two siblings that had left the church come back and give their life back to Christ and rebaptize them to the church. And he told me before he died, he said, if it was necessary for me to go through this process as a means for God to reach my brother and sister for eternity, I was glad to do it.
Right.
You see, he suffered, but he was able to rejoice in his suffering because he saw that it could reach and have a witness or a purpose beyond his own earthly existence here for the 70 or 80 or 90 years we may live on this earth, in his case, middle 30s.
You know, we've mentioned a couple times, but I think here's a good place to think about it again. that there is a whole unseen world out there. There is a tremendous struggle that is going on. We can't see that, but we're part of it.
But we're supposed to be in our godly vision seeing it, aren't we?
Well, we can to a certain degree, but we don't always see it. Even in the experience of Daniel, we know, we go back and Daniel was frustrated and, you know, God came back with the explanation, well, I was doing some behind the scenes struggling. You couldn't see that, Daniel, but this is what I was doing to try to convince someone of what they should do.
But I guess I meant kept that in our awareness, in our awareness, there's other factors going on.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And when that is part of our awareness, then, as you said, we factor that in and say, I don't understand all of these things. And in this particular case, we don't know. Maybe the one that you just mentioned, maybe it was necessary for God to allow that to happen in order for the conversions to take place. Maybe it wasn't. In either case, we rejoice that the conversions took place. But we do keep in mind that part of the reason we can't explain all of these things is because there are things going on behind the scenes that we do not know the details of, we don't know the specifics about, and we really can't relate to them, except in the general way.
In the general way. And I think that general perspective change makes a big difference.
Well, it does. Our number is 800-775-4673. The difficult things that happen in life, why we're talking about it today. You still have time to weigh in, not a lot of time. If you're going to call us, do so quickly, 800-775-4673. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Call 800-775-4673 to share your thoughts on Steve Gallimore Live.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Luke chapter 6, verse 1.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked,
"Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?"
Jesus answered them,
"Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions."
Then Jesus said to them,
"The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand,
"Get up and stand in front of everyone."
So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them,
"I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?"
He looked around at them all and then said to the man,
"Stretch out your hand."
He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you, and Tim Jennings, Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist. Tim Jennings is with us today. We're talking about why all of those bad things happen in life and trying to put some perspective on that from what the Bible has to say. But all of us suffer through issues of life, and where is God? That's the question that we often ask. 800-775-4673 is our number, and we are having a drawing in just a few minutes for Could It Be This Simple, a book by Dr. Tim Jennings. And we have one of these. We'll give it away at the end of the program. All you have to do is call in to join us on there, and we'll make you part of that drawing. Dr. Jennings, let's come back and pick up right where we left off at break. We were talking about the behind-the-scenes situation, and this is something that does often get overlooked. In fact, even in today's environment, I've heard a lot of people say, well, Satan is not really, doesn't exist. It's just kind of a concept of evil. In fact, I think that's probably the majority view of Americans today. To take that view, leads to real trouble scripturally.
For several reasons. If there is no evil force, but you still no devil, but you still believe in a God, then what happens to all the negative things? Who does it have to be attributed to?
Sure.
And then what kind of a God are we believing in suddenly? It's a horrible thing to do. No, I absolutely believe there's an intelligent being created by God, angelic, who is at war with him right now over methods and principles, one of either self-sacrificing love, God's kingdom, versus promoting self at all costs.
Right.
And that's the war being waged. And that self-promoting war will hurt and exploit and will take advantage. And actually in science, and I actually heard on the radio yesterday on NPR, they talked to a guy who won the Templeton Award, which is the award for science and religion, science and spirituality. And he talked about how most Christian thought leaders now are accepting the reality that God works through evolutionary processes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, the survival of the fittest principle is the infection that is destroying God's creation.
Right.
It is the principle of I will exploit another, one weaker than me, in order that I might survive at their expense.
Right.
Which is just the opposite of Christ, who did not think equality with God was something to be grasped, but surrendered himself, giving himself up for the weaker in order to save them.
Right.
That is not the survival of the fittest principle.
Right. It's not. And so we have these powers that stand in opposition to each other. Referring back to the Apostle Paul again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that is so easy to forget. When trials and difficulties and bad things happen, I think that's the first thing that should come to our mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but they're principalities, powers of darkness, rulers of the air, as you mentioned.
And the principal weapon of the devil, is my experience, is misrepresentation, lies. He works in our heads. Is where he's working. You look at the example you gave about Christ at the temple. You notice he didn't just shove Christ over physically.
Right.
He had to get Christ to choose to throw himself off.
Sure.
The devil cannot harm us eternally.
Right.
Without our voluntary choice and cooperation.
Yes. From the book of Job, referring back to the book of Job, we see this scene. One of the beautiful things about the book of Job, it just sort of pulls back the curtain so that we get a glimpse of that unseen world.
That's right.
There came a time when the sons of God came together, and Satan also came among them. That's what the Bible says.
And I'm representing Earth.
He said, I'm here. I'm representing the Earth.
Not so fast. Job doesn't recognize you as his representative.
Yeah, and Satan said, well, let's take care of that.
Exactly.
God said, well, we'll see. All right, we're going to Texas, and we're going to speak with Betsy. Betsy, nice to have you on the air today. Hi, Betsy.
I'm going to sound a little funny. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air from coast to coast.
Yes, I'm going to sound a little funny because I am sick with the flu.
Oh, my. Well, thanks for calling even when you're ill.
Yeah, but I just want to make it two comments. One is, even like my husband told me this morning, you really have a bad month. I mean, you are with the flu and you have an accident last week. But I told him, I will still praise God. And as a Christian, we need to understand that why do we have to blame everything in God when there is evil? Yeah. All these bad things, bad disasters that happen in the world is because of Satan. It's not because of Jesus. We should be praising God when we are feeling down, when there is disaster come to our home.
Betsy, I like your attitude. And I don't mean to characterize your husband, but let me just throw this out. Remember, Job's wife came to him and said, all these bad things have happened to you. Just curse God and die. And because he doesn't do anything good for you anymore. But Dr. Jennings, I really like Betsy's courage. She's gone through a couple things, suffering a little bit right now from the flu and so forth. But yes, she has a wonderful attitude.
I think she has interpreted events absolutely correctly. Christ, God the Father, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Right.
God the Father, the Spirit, all on our side. They're our friends. They're wanting to heal, restore, redeem. And all that evil, painful stuff is not coming out of God's hand.
Right. Anything else, Betsy?
Also, I just want to mention quickly that, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't make anything wrong. He came to save us. But
yes.
He went through all this suffering before he went to the cross. So, I mean, we could have said bad things happened to Jesus too, but he's not blaming anyone.
Right.
He just came to fulfill his mission.
Betsy, you are so full of wisdom. I think you are really on track. If the Son of God had to go through this world of sin, and he suffered in this world of sin in order that we can have eternal salvation, I think that's something to keep in perspective. It certainly is an encouragement to us, I think, that God himself was willing to share in the suffering, that in the end of all things, that good will prevail, and that righteousness will rule through eternity.
But okay, we just need to have faith.
Yeah, and I wanna, thanks, Betsy.
Yeah, yes. I want to affirm Betsy, because she triggered a thought in my mind there as well. Not only did he go through all that suffering, but I think she was helping us focus on his attitude when he went through it. He didn't have the attitude, Father, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? All I've ever done is heal the sick and feed the hungry and raise the dead. I've done nothing but good, and how is it fair that they're doing all this stuff to me? Yes. See, his focus wasn't on self. When bad stuff was happening to him, he remained his focus, one, on the Father, and two, on other people. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And I think that Betsy has pointed that out to us, that here's the one perfect, righteous person who didn't deserve any pain in his life, and when he got it, he still didn't go, why me?
Yes, very true. Betsy, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, that sparked another thought in my mind about the human nature of Christ. Because Jesus, of course, suffering under the weight of sin. We know that the whole weight of sin of the universe, of this world at least, was resting on him. And Jesus then cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt cut off from the Father. Even though he didn't blame God and cry out and say, I don't deserve any of this and that kind of thing, he did feel that God, because of the weight and the burden that was resting on him, somehow he was separated from God.
Yeah, but he didn't call out, my God, why are you punishing me? Why are you killing me? Why are you hurting me?
Right.
He did recognize, why have you let me go? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you not intervened to stop this from happening to me?
Right.
Yeah. So you're right. Yeah. He did experience that horribleness, but he didn't blame his dad for it.
No, he did not. But listen, we don't have a lot of time left, just a few seconds here. You mentioned the issue of love and freedom, and I think that's a positive place that we should end today in our discussion. We can't really talk about the whole situation of suffering and so forth unless we talk about this issue of love and freedom.
God is love. Love cannot exist in this universe without freedom. He's working to create a universe where we feel safe. Everybody today is wanting a universe where they're safe. They don't have terrorists that are around every corner. Well, right. That place will only happen when it's populated by people who love everyone else more than themselves, so much that everyone would give their life for everybody else around them. And if that's how we have been changed through God's grace to love everybody more than ourselves, then you see we'll have complete freedom without fear.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's important to remember that Satan took a third of the angels with him. God gave him the freedom to do that. They had the freedom to choose. And so as we go through this process of sin, there still is now God's hand in a certain degree is off, and the process of sin is working itself out. But you know what gives me courage is that someday God's going to rectify all of this, and that all of his creatures will from that point on, throughout eternity, serve him in freedom and love.
Absolutely. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what this message is designed to bring our audience to.
Yes. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for being with us today. We've had a great discussion as we've talked about this. As we mentioned, we know that we haven't given all the answers today, but we hope that it's been encouraging to you and has brought you closer to Christ. Delbert in California is going to receive the book and the answer to the question, was David, Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. To each of you, thank you for being with us today. We wish you God's blessing. We look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support LifeTalk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net. Or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.